Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Later this month, the Lutheran pastors in New Mexico will gather with our Bishop, Jim Gonia, for our annual retreat. And I'm especially excited this year because we haven't gotten to do it for 2 years in a row now, and we all have such a good time together. But we always end our retreats with the bishop with worship. And during that worship, we will gather around Bishop Jim and lay hands on him and pray for him, for his work in leadership, for his family, and for his own well-being. Have you ever had someone pray for you like that? Or maybe lay hands on you, or maybe just pray aloud just for you. It is a beautiful experience. But even when it's not in person, but when you know that someone is praying for you, it's a great feeling, a feeling of being cared for, of being held before God and given strength in the love of God and the care of the one who is praying. Often, people have told me what a difference it has made to them to know that they are being held in prayer by this community when they are sick or facing other needs or challenges in their lives. In the reading today, Jesus prays for his disciples. Think about that for a moment. They have been following him for years, learning from him, watching him do wonderful and crazy things in the name of his relationship with God. Certainly, they have prayed together many times at meals, at the Jewish festivals, at dawn or in the evening. Perhaps Jesus prays for them regularly in their life together. But this night, they are gathered at the table for the meal that will be their last. And they are beginning to understand that. Jesus has been talking to them and telling them that he is going to die, that he is leaving them. He's been giving them their marching orders, but also promises for what will happen when he is gone. They are frightened, insecure, uncertain, scrappy, and squabbling, anxious about a future that Jesus is revealing to them, and just beginning to know the grief that they will feel when he is gone. And just as Jesus began the meal with an act of love by washing their feet, now he ends with an act of love by lifting them up in prayer. Jesus says, God, Father, Mother, Creator, will you help these people? These beloved, short-sighted, selfish, faithful people, will you help them, God? Will you open their eyes and give them strength, and most of all, stay close to them? Will you help them stay together, work together, pray together, so that they may continue the work I have begun in this world? I hope it felt good to them and offered them comfort for Jesus to pray for them in that moment. And I also wonder if Jesus chose to pray this prayer not only to lift the disciples up to God, but also to highlight for them in another way his hopes and dreams for them. Sometimes when we pray together in community, we are not only talking to God, but communicating with one another as well, right? The way we pray together, what we pray, our language of prayer, all of those things help to shape our faith and our understanding of God's presence in our lives. And so I think Jesus is using this prayer not only to comfort and care for his friends, but also to kind of summarize what he's been telling them, perhaps just to let them hear it in another way. Jesus prays that the disciples will experience eternal life through their relationship with God, Now, y'all know who've been with us since December, that reading from John all the way through each week since December, we have been hearing a lot about eternal life in John's gospel, right? Verse 3 describes as clearly as anywhere else in the gospel how John understands eternal life. It says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." John's gospel assumes that people were created by God for relationship with God. The gospel is full of people coming to know Jesus through their encounters with him. The Samaritan woman at the well, Nicodemus, the man born blind. Even Mary and Martha are shown to grow in their understanding of who Jesus is and of who God is through Jesus. As they come to know Jesus, they come to trust him, to abide in him, to hope in him. And that is what John means by eternal life, abundant life, which begins now in our relationship with God and continues after we die. This is what Jesus wants and prays for his disciples. And then Jesus does this amazing thing. He expands his prayer to include not only the friends who are sitting there with him at the table, but those who will become his followers. "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their words," Jesus prays. There are two things I want to lift up here. First is that Jesus assumes that his disciples, these scared, uncertain, squabbling friends of his sitting at the table, including the one that he knows will betray him and the one that he knows will deny him, right? These friends will, in fact, tell his story and spread the good news. He has been telling them that the Holy Spirit will come to guide them. He has been telling them that they will be his witnesses. And he is certain that by the power of the Holy Spirit, they will succeed. There will be new followers. Jesus doesn't pray, "Oh God, please let them do this thing that I've asked them to do." But Jesus prays, he knows they're going to do it. And so for all those who will believe, Jesus lifts up a prayer. Which brings us to the second thing. Jesus is praying for us, my friends, for our faith and faithfulness, for our protection and well-being. And just as Jesus trusted those first imperfect disciples at table with him, Jesus trusts us. We gather each week to hear the story of God's love in the world and to share the meal that Jesus gives us. And Jesus trusts us to share this story and this meal with others. Jesus ends his prayer by lifting up the community and unity of his followers. He prays, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one." This is a prayer for community, that all of his followers may be together. And it is a prayer for unity, that all may be together as one. We are one in Christ, my friends, whether we agree with each other or not. Whether we like each other or not, whether we worship with the same liturgy or music or language, or whether we have grape juice four times a year or wine every week for our communion, we are one in Christ. To become a part of Christ is to become a part of the community, a part of the one. Our core values focus this week is hospitality. And one thing that stood out to me this week is the hospitality in the prayer of Jesus. The community of Jesus is always an open community. It is never complete. The door is never closed or the roster filled. There is always room for another of God's beloved children to be part of the community of believers as we gather for worship, prayer, and fellowship. The story of Jesus, and then the story of the community created by the Holy Spirit in his name, is always a story of breaking down the walls between people. It is always a story of crossing boundaries, offering love and reconciliation and hope in a bitter, angry, hopeless world. Our practice of hospitality is one way that we can live out the good news of Jesus in this world. In a few minutes, we will receive Holy Communion. Participating, as the followers of Jesus have through the centuries, in that Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples. As you receive the bread and wine today, you who are here and also you who are on Zoom and listening with your own bread and wine there with you, I invite you to stop and imagine also Jesus laying hands upon your head and praying for you, praying for your protection, praying for your trust, for your faithfulness and witness, for your presence in the community of faith. Imagine Jesus praying for you and know that you are loved with a love so deep and wide that it took Jesus to the cross and raised him from the dead and offers you eternal life today and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.